So I want to continue talking about Telemann's paper. And as we get deeper and deeper into the paper, my understanding will get poorer and poorer. And so at some point, it'll turn into me asking questions of the audience. But at least, but I think I can keep it going for at least an hour before we get to that point. Okay, so last time, I defined what it meant to give an A-type, or I recalled Telemann's definition of what it means to give an A-type or topological action of a compact Lie group G on some K-linear stable infinity category, or a DG category. That's like a fine. So one definition, which is like very clean, is and this isn't quite the one I gave, but this is one that is also like quite nice. So because C is a stable infinity category, it has a topological space of endomorphisms, which is just given by taking the corresponding category of endomorphisms and just forgetting everything that's not invertible. So you can think of this as being a topological space. And then since G is a Lie group, it is also topological space. And you can just, and both of these things are like topological monoids or E1 algebras. And you could just ask for a like a map that restricts the multiplication. And that's like a pretty good definition of what it means to give an action. What Telemann discovered. Yeah, so for every group element, you get an endofunctor. For every path in the group, you get a natural transformation between the endofunctors. So in particular, this is going to go ahead and determine for us. So actually, yeah, maybe we can work out, precisely what this is going to give rise to. So what this is going to give us is it's going to give rise to an E2 map from chains on the base loop space of G into the Hochschild homology of the category C, which is just the endomorphisms of the identity functor. So if we think through what you just asked me, so since this thing is supposed to be a map of V1 algebras, maybe I should even say like unital, then it needs to send the identity element of the group to the identity endomorphism of C. And then each loop in the group will give rise to a natural transformation from C to C, so an endomorphism of the identity functor. This thing is actually really like the topological space corresponding to a chain complex, since our category C was K-linear. So you can also just K-linearize this topological space, just take chains. So what this will end up giving you is a map from chains on the base loop space into this endomorphisms of the identity functor. And then what you'll see is that there's actually, I worked this out last time, but this category has two different compositions. So if you have a endomorphism of the identity functor, it has like both a vertical and a horizontal composition. And those correspond to the multiplication in the group, which has to be respected by the fact that this is a homomorphism of E1 algebras, and then the composition of paths, which goes to the composition, the vertical composition of the functors here. So you have two different products, and they both have to be respected. And this is this is an E2 map. So when G is connected, this is enough to recover the homomorphism, because every single other endofunctor that you're going to get is going to be equivalent to the identity. All the information is in here. There are two other equivalent definitions, which are a little bit fancier. One is an object of sheaves of categories on BG Betty. If you work out what this is by descent, you basically literally recover this. This one's like a tautology. The last time what we worked out was that if you had a category with an monoidal action of the Fekaya category of T star G, where I think of this thing as a monoidal category using the convolution, like coming from the multiplication structure on G. So like that was also something we did last time, is worked out that this thing even has a convolution monoidal structure. So if you have a category with a monoidal action, then it turns out that the generator, or say that the unit for the monoidal structure ends up being the Lagrangian, the cotangent fiber at 1 to G. And so the endomorphisms of this, whenever you have a monoidal action, you always get a map from endomorphisms of the unit into automorphisms of the identity functor. Because the unit has to go to the identity functor under the action. So then if you had an automorphism of the unit, and that would give you a natural transformation. So then you end up getting this exact same definition that Telemann gave. So if G is a compact group, well, then this gives you this E2 action I was talking about before. Okay, so now, let me try and remind you of like what we decided that the physical interpretation of this was going to be. So in particular, there's some two-category boundary conditions for A-twisted 3D n equals 4 pure gauge theory, gauge group G. And then I don't know, I think I'm going to be agnostic as to whether what I've given you is all of the boundary conditions. I think that we're going to decide that in fact it is not. But at least some of the boundary conditions that are inside of here are these categories with this G action. And then there's a particularly nice physical object in here called Dirichlet. And it's supposed to have the property that it basically, so again, some particular objects in this category are categories with a G. Sorry, some particular boundary conditions are categories with a G action, and Dirichlet is supposed to just correspond to forgetting that G action. So in here, that tells you that the A-type Dirichlet boundary condition is just going to end up being the two skyscraper sheaves supported at the point mapping to BG Betty. Or another way of saying it, is that this thing is the Fekaya category acting on itself. And we have like a natural, although this is assuming something that I'll say in a second, so then you have your homomorphisms out of Dirichlet. And this thing takes you to the endomorphisms of Dirichlet modules. And then you can work out from this description that this thing is just Fekaya category of T star G with its monoidal structure. And actually, like this thing actually ends up being an equivalence. So the part of the category, or like whatever category boundary conditions that we're seeing is basically exactly the ones that are determined by their homomorphisms with Dirichlet. Yeah.
So when you represent a category of boundary conditions as like a category with extra structure.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Then you have a fiber functor.
Yeah, and this is that fiber functor.
The fiber functor is you have a slab with Dirichlet on the other side.
Yeah. So the fiber functor is I have one with Dirichlet on one side, and then I put my other boundary condition on this side and take the slab compactification. That puts me in here. And I'm saying that some particular part of this category of boundary conditions, the ones that I can represent this way, are exactly the ones that where this fiber functor is an identity. But I'm agnostic and skeptical that this was all of them. And the reason that I'm skeptical is because we can try and look at the mirror on the other side. So this thing is just recovering the equivalence of these two definitions. Or I mean, I'm just restating the definitions, the equivalence of those two definitions in a funny way. But then you can do the same thing. So you can try and take the mirror. So there, you're going to have some boundary conditions for the B-twisted 3D n equals 4 sigma model. And you guys have, many of you have done enough 3D mirror symmetry to know that the appropriate target is this BFN Coulomb branch. So we're going to try and give a good approximation of this thing. So this chains on the base loop space, if we take its spectrum, remember that that gives us a Lagrangian inside of this BFN space. So remember that last time we talked about this Lagrangian inside the BFM space of G, which is just the spectrum of the non-equivariant homology, the non-equivariant homology of the base loop space, or the affine Grassmannian, if you prefer, which I think most people in this audience would. And so the categories that you can represent in this way, well, what we've seen by this definition is that those are exactly the categories that form a sheaf over this C. So then you can also try and look at sheaves of categories over C. And so this is like some particular subset of all of these boundary conditions. And the ones that those are is that it's known that this is supposed to be dual to the Neumann boundary condition. So again, you get a fiber functor. Yeah, Dirichlet goes to Neumann. This is giving you another known theorem that if you, so this category, so let's actually decide what Neumann is. So Neumann ends up just being the two structure sheaf of C, and its endomorphisms just end up being quasi-coherent sheaves on C as a tensor category in the obvious way. And it's known that these things are in equivalence.
So a synonym, you mean Lagrangian on the fiber
Lagrangian? Fiber Lagrangian, I mean the...
Normal for a sigma model would mean that it wraps the whole target.
I mean the one that if you had a cotangent bundle would be base of the cotangent bundle.
Okay, good. So here you mean it's basically a cotangent bundle?
Yeah. So basically this thing is basically T star G mod G, and it's the thing that descends. The G mod G part. So that's what I mean. And so what I'm saying is that what we've worked out so far is going to at least be part of this 3D mirror symmetry story. Let's actually, though, try and work out some other things.
Just make sure, so this Foucault category with the star is isomorphic to Q coherency shifts.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, I guess that must be true. Yeah. Is that true? Because this thing is generated by the cotangent fiber, whose endomorphisms are chains on the base loop space. And then chains on the base loop space was my definition of C. So it's basically true just by construction.
But is that also equivalent to... I mean, you said that C should be Langmuir's dual on Langmuir's dual adjoint quotient.
Uh-huh.
But that sound obviously the same as chains in the base loop space?
No. So the fact that this thing is the same as this, that's basic. The fact that that thing is due to So this thing is defined by this, but the equality with this description is due to Bezukhov-Nikov, Finkelberg, and Mirkovich. It's just so that you have something like concrete to think about. Okay, so now I want to try and identify like some other objects that should be around. So some other objects is we should have Neumann on the A side. And Neumann on the A side, if you take a category with a G symmetry, like physically, like that's ought to be the thing that gauges that symmetry. So some other objects that we might ask about is Neumann. So this thing is supposed to gauge. So the property that it's supposed to have is that if you have Neumann, then you have some sort of 2D theory with a G symmetry, then if you do the slab compactification, the kind of thing that you're supposed to get is that same 2D theory, but now, so if this thing was like a sigma model, now your sigma model with target X, now you'd have sigma model with target X mod G. So then like one can just like look at this category and sort of guess like what kind of object has that property. And that's just the structure sheaf of BG Betti, or if I want to think of it in this other way, it'd be this Fekaya category acting on a point. So our definition of the A-type Neumann boundary condition is Betti, which is also equal to the Fekaya category. Basically, I just am going to switch between so many of these descriptions. But then the other thing that you can see is using this other definition of what it means to give a G action, this thing should really be some sort of homomorphism from chains on the base loop space of G into the identity functor on vect. And the automorphisms of the identity functor on vect are just scalars. So in particular, this thing is also the same as some sort of homomorphism from chains on the base loop space just into the complex numbers. And you might ask, like, which one should it be? And I claim if you use the trivial action, so this thing is supposed to be the trivial action on vect, then this thing is just the obvious augmentation, just the one that, because you have chains, like there's like an H0.
Should it be a family of Neumann boundary conditions? I label the five parameter.
I'm going to talk about that in just a second. So in particular, the one corresponding to this trivial representation, but yeah, you're definitely right, is the canonical augmentation, the one that goes to H0 of the loop space. I guess I didn't make any assumptions. I would make this thing be. Yeah, okay, good. It'd be connected. Okay, but then now one could use this description to see like what the dual would be. So the dual is supposed to be the B-type Dirichlet. This B-type Dirichlet coming from this, like what we can see is that's supposed to be the two structure sheaf of the point one, where like one is in G.
Does this assume G is simply
connected? I don't think. Did I do that? No, because it's the base loop space. Did I assume that this was simply connected?
I mean, suppose G was
B1. Yeah. So I think the one that I mean is inside of here you have a canonical one, which is the component of the trivial loops.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. So
to
Yeah. So you pick out the component corresponding to the trivial loops and then go to C.
Or do you sum over the component? Because the effect parameter will be a...
Well, the thing that I want to get is that if this thing is C of X and X inverse, where X and X inverse are, so suppose, let's just settle this. So the thing that I want to say is that if G is C star, which is not simply connected, then the loop group is Z. And then I want to be taking chains on Z. And then this thing has a canonical base point, which is like the trivial loop. And I want to just, I want this thing to be, if I think of this as being functions on C star, which is the dual C star, which is what I'm about to do in a second. Dual. I want this. Yeah, I want it to be one. I want a set. That's the one that I want. So let's see. So how did I describe that? So is that the one that I wanted, where I just
So this is not the value at zero, right? This is the sum of all of them.
That H0, that's the group algebra of the fundamental group, and you're taking the augmentation of it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, okay.
Hopefully everyone will be satisfied.
Okay, yeah, that's the thing that I'm... That is the thing that I am trying to do, but I hope I described it properly. But anyway, but the point is that so when you dualize it in this particular case, then what you're going to get is inside of sheaves of categories on G mod G, like there's basically a skyscraper sheaf supported at one. At the class of one. So that's like what this thing would tell us that the mirror is. But there's a more micro-local way to think about it. Which we're going to start trying to learn this micro-local perspective like as we go on and on. And that's that like maybe the thing that I ought to think of this thing as is you have the cotangent fiber to 1 inside of G, and then maybe I'm symplectically reducing it to get T mod, like a copy of T mod W sitting inside. And then this fiber is only hitting, so we said that the way that you find like the underlying sheaf of category on C, maybe that's just intersect your Lagrangian with C. And so this thing would intersect it at one point, exactly this one. So this is like maybe something that doesn't make any sense right now, but like as time goes by, we'll see that this is a better answer. But another reason why you might like it, if like you've done a lot of computations with the BFN construction, is that like if you try and like construct like what the dual or like what the representation that you would get out of the BFN space coming from like the Springer fiber over zero, you'd find it's this GKLO module, which looks a lot like this. And I claim that like if you do the BFN stuff to like try and compute like what the mirror would be, like this is the answer that you would end up getting. So for you guys who are in the know, this thing is like the GKLO. Also, like in our paper, right, like when we computed what the mirror to Neumann looked like, this is kind of the kind of thing we found.
Sorry, one is like the orbit of the identity or the fiber or the cotangent fiber of the identity?
It's just the orbit of the identity. Well, what we're going to, so I think it's, right, I'm thinking of them in like this model. Then it doesn't make any sense to talk about anything that's outside of this variety C. And so then what I mean is that literally, I mean, you take the point one in here and take its image in the reduction. Okay. That gives you some, and I claim that'll give you some point of C.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that like, if we want to try and think of it in the whole cotangent bundle, we'll see later that this is like going to be the thing that we want. Okay, so then now to Davide's question.
Those G checks there?
Any kind of adjoint quotient that I write for the entire rest of the talk is this one. I should also have like some reg there. But yes, but anytime I write anything that looks like an adjoint quotient, I meant to write that. Of course, you should prompt me so that I write it properly.
Do endomorphisms match again?
And then the endomorphisms do match again. I think it's, but it's almost just by construction, right? Let's see. Yeah, actually, let's check this. I claimed that it was going to be really easy, but maybe it's not. Okay, so I take the endomorphisms of this thing, and what am I supposed to get? I'm supposed to get quasi-coherent sheaves on BG Betty.
So we're supposed to get boundary conditions of 2D gauge theory.
Yeah, boundary conditions of 2D gauge theory. But so I think that that's going to be the same thing as vector spaces with a action, a topological action of G, which is going to be the same thing as maps of topological spaces, G into the endomorphisms here, which I guess is going to be the same thing as modules over chains on the group. So that's going to be what the endomorphisms of NA would look like. So this thing is supposed to also be Qco VG Betty, but I just did the same kind of game that I did here, just a dimension down to get this description. And then I think that here what's going to happen is you have one inside of the Langlands dual group and you're doing a self-intersection. And I think that it's the Kazul complex which is going to turn into the homology of this group. I think that that's the right way of thinking about it. Because here, what I'm going to have is something. So let's, in the case that it's a torus, when it's easier to see, the kind of thing that I would get, something like I'm doing the self-intersection of one with itself here. And this thing is going to look something like an exterior, like the spectrum of some exterior algebra, like an odd vector space. And what I'm claiming is that if you do this computation more carefully when things are an actual group, what you're going to see when you do this computation is that that exterior algebra is going to be exactly the homology of the group.
The functions on that quotient.
Yeah. Or sorry, what's another? What? How did you want to say it?
The chains of the group. It's a causal dual of functions on.
On this thing? That's true, but that's actually not what I get out of the.
Because you're just looking at the base, right? You're ignoring.
Yeah. Sorry. So like basically, right, like if I use this particular model for the category, like that's like what I see.
Yeah.
But then you're right that in like the big BFF, like if I understood how to make sense of this KRS category eventually, like that is what I should see. But it's basically, so your answer would be like in these big categories, Ben? And then, like in these like things that I can actually see, like then what I'm seeing is the Kazul dual to that, like the smaller ones. Like I'm seeing exterior algebras instead of symmetric algebras. I think we'll have to work through this example again once we try and actually introduce the KRS space. But in the case that this thing is C star, I know for sure that this is how it works. Or if it's any torus. And then I think it continues to work this way for a group. Okay, so that was a good question. Okay, so good. Okay, so now to Davide's other question, which is like, what about the other points? So in particular, right, like any time that you give a homomorphism so if I have a point tau inside of C and that gives me some sort of homomorphism from chains on the base loop group to C, And in particular, then this gives me some sort of representation, some sort of topological representation of my group. Of my group G, and then one can ask, like, what on earth are these things supposed to do? And so the conjecture of Telemann's, which is also like pretty clear, like that it matches the physics. Let me state it in the case that G is a torus again, because it's a little bit more complicated to state when that's not true. But roughly, like what the conjecture states in this case, and let me actually state, and then let me introduce. Yeah, so what you end up finding is that the homomorphisms from this like altered category to say the Fekaya category of some symplectic space, we've sort of have a hint for what we know what we wanted the answer to be when this was one. We know that we just wanted to get the Fekaya category of the quotient in some sense. And like what the answer that Telemann sort of conjectures is that you should get the Fekaya category of the symplectic reduction of x at g, where you use the real part of log tau. Let me even just say as the GIT parameter, and then you use the imaginary part to give you a B field. So you get basically your complexified. This point tau is supposed to be some sort of complexified Fi parameter for the 2D theory. And this is like what we saw like also like in our paper, is that like if you have boundary Fi parameters, that they get dualized to
positions.
Yeah, just positions.
So I just want to understand this. You're saying, so there's a family of Hohmann boundary conditions?
Yes.
And if I couple them to X and
yeah.
Multiplication.
Yeah.
Neumann on the other side?
So this is, I've got my family of Neumann boundary conditions. And they depend on like a parameter tau. So these are like the boundary Fi parameters for this 2D theory. Mm-hmm. And then say I couple it to T acting on the Fekaya category of X. So suppose that T acts on X, so then I have like a topological action T on the Fekaya category of X. Mm-hmm. Then what I'm claiming is that when you do the sandwich, you're going to get the 2D, you're going to get an A model,
right.
Like with target here, but then these boundary Fi parameters become, well, sorry, yeah. So these parameters go here into the Fekaya category. And then all I was saying is that like what they are like in the mirror is that they were just the positions of my points.
Yeah.
And so like in the paper that like Davide Tudor and I wrote, we saw like a lot of examples of this kind of behavior.
Sorry, what's the imaginary part? The real part's GIT parameter, the imaginary part.
Is the B field. Or the yeah. But this doesn't actually quite work. So there's a couple of problems. This is like basically right, but Telemann noticed, both of these problems. So the first one is, what about singular GIT quotients? Or singular reductions. Like, what is even this Fekaya category going to be? The second thing is that we'll see an example of this later, but many times you get an empty GIT quotient, or for some tau, is going to give me the empty set. But when you do the computations on the mirror, like it won't work out that way. Like you won't get like the empty answer. We'll do one like this in a minute. And so I think that like the discrepancy to this, and this is something that I am very confused about and would like people to tell me, is I know that when you're studying mirror symmetry, and say you're in like the Fano case, that basically you need to renormalize the Fi parameters. And so this discrepancy has something to do with the way that renormalization acts on the FIs. And so I don't quite understand what
model makes sense for all FI parameters, even when they're negative.
Yeah, that's right. And so basically, this renormalization acting on the FIs, like that's supposed to fix this problem, but I don't quite understand this well enough to like make sense of that. And like this isn't really Intelliman's thing. He gives a different prescription. He says that in the mirror. That you have to use something about unitary mirrors, but I don't quite also understand what that means. So
this seems to be more of a truly problem, a 2D issue than having to do with the actual 3D.
Yeah, sure. It's a purely 2D, but it's a anyway. So well, I'll show you these problems again in more detail in a second when we do the torus case. Okay, so then the other, okay.
Can I ask what this, you said B field a couple of times and nothing else, but like what should I be thinking about this?
Just, long term. I mean, if we were in the B model, it would just be a gerb, but.
But sometimes you form this real complex parts, your objects, both of them have to vanish. It's a stronger condition than a Hondian, and when you count holomorphic curves, you put them both staying the same as the count. Which integrate the whole complex to form a curve.
So we can just keep track of the resulting e to the whatever.
Yeah. So if your weak field was the real elementary parts of a holomorphic splay form. Then you would be left open only holomorphic Hondians as your objects.
Yeah. So this is also like something that like I'm not really an expert in, and like what the or like exactly like how to think of this. But these are like the. But anyway, this is the main thing that I don't understand right now. And so if somebody could explain that to me, I'd be very, very helpful, very happy. Okay. So that's like what. So at least. For at least when like this symplectic reduction is smooth, then like this gives you a very nice understanding of these other representations. The other thing that Telemann discusses, and so this is also going to be about trying to solve the discrepancy, or well, it's going to tell us that there's a discrepancy between. Our B model here and sheaves of categories on C. So when you when you're looking at the Z2 graded world, you can deform actions of G on Becht. By classes, or by elements of the G equivariant cohomology of a point. So the canonical example, and this is one that I also like don't understand so well. Supposed to be about when you look in H4 of BG and like choose the Casimir, then this is then if you study the gauged, so if you take Vect, just the trivial action and then deform it by this Casimir, then this is supposed to give you like topological Yang mills. That's what Telemann claims.
What does that mean? One dimension or?
In 2D.
Does it make sense? 2D topological is not topological.
Okay, well, I mean, so this is his claim. Well, okay, like I can try and read you his claim in more detail. Like so let's see. So what I'm saying is that so I'm trying to claim that this is you take the Casimir. And you look at the trivial rep harmed with the trivial rep, with this deformed by this Casimir, then you should get.
Well, what does that, what does equal mean? Like,
so this thing is some category. This is supposed to be what this decides to a point.
Conditions?
Yeah.
Okay, so the category of kind of makes sense, and the category of boundary conditions for 2D Young Mills is rep G.
Yeah, and but then you just deform it.
I want a term. If I'm left to work in Zeman 2 beta case, I can add on any invariant polynomial with B as a just 2 Lagrangian, and that will deform it.
Yeah, and so yeah, so I think that like that's a computation that I would like to work through in a little bit more detail, but I don't quite know how to do.
Does the deformation from like BF theory to actual 2D Yang Mills, is it of that form?
No, it's not that one, because that's not topological.
Right.
So you're adding a Zeman 2 beta deformation, where you take the local operator B squared, and you descend it twice, and integrate it over the surface.
Yeah, so I do know, like, yeah, so like, if you want to construct this thing, as Kevin just said, I mean, it should look like something like you look at maps from sigma into BG, and then use you should transgress like your classes from BG. I mean, this is what you're telling me, right? That basically you can add terms to the action, like using like this like transgression.
Another way to say it, like that these are the classes in HH even of UG.
Yes.
So that's it.
Yeah.
In a Zeman 2 graded sense, any element of HH even of UG deforms UG as an infinity algebra.
Ah, okay, I see.
And the particular thing you're talking about is an M0, because it's actually inside of the center of UG. It's an HH0.
I see.
So I'm guessing that like Z versus Z2 graded is appearing here like this.
Well, I don't get a function. Oh, sorry, what are you? Well, okay, so the reason that you need the Z2 graded thing, right, is because basically, like, what am I saying? I'm saying that if I look at, like, the G equivariant cohomology of the loop group that I can get, that I can try and look at points like this, and I can think of them as being deformations of points over the non-equivariant cohomology. Like that.
So just on the B side, you're just flowing the 5 and above 1, using the Hamiltonians.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, but the point like that this thing is supposed to be saying is that's supposed to be how I'm supposed to be able to move around in this T mod W. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be by deforming this category using this action, mm-hmm. using these elements. So this is something, but this is like, this kind of stuff is exactly like the most subtle parts of this and the parts that I'm a little bit.
Sort of higher generalizational data parameters, if you want, that allow you to explore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, if it was HG, it would be a gerb on EG. Mm-hmm. But if in the working Zeman 2 beta sense, any class in HG can be thought of as a gerb.
I see. Right. I see.
I mean, I think confused. Just feels like there's some action that you could write down that took original 2D theory. You can form this transgression argument to get a true form that you can just then
maybe. I mean, I can get like a function that maybe I could use to. Well, I mean, I don't know. So I thought that it had something to do with like generally when you do these constructions. So you know like these constructions. In like Fried-Hopkins-Telemann, Lurie, where they basically construct like Digraph-Witten theory, but then they change it by elements here, like using like this transgression. I think that it should give you this kind of a thing. Let me maybe move slightly on because there's something that I understand better that I'd like to talk about. But Yeah, I'd like to talk about this after. Okay, but the point is that if you...
So if I can just ask, so if you do home from vec c to vec x, you get some deformation sort of integral of the quotient.
That, yeah, that I don't know. Like, I'd like to know what that is, but I don't know.
Well, I think it's clear, right? It's you can perform the Fekani category by adding on an Eden cohomology class.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Count disks that way. So it's, people do this all the time. It's called the kill string level. It's Lord cohomology.
I see. I see, so that's what the large quantum cohomology is. I've never known. Okay, this is great. I'm getting a remedial class in the Fekaya category. This is exactly why I wanted to have this seminar. Okay. Right. So now I want to try and motivate a little bit more of the definition of the KRS category by trying to examine toric mirror symmetry using this, from this perspective. And basically, as we try and examine the way that it works, we'll be forced to basically understand more about this big category. And then that'll sort of tell us about the KRS definition. And if I remember from last time, you guys generally can't see over there, is that right?
It's a ways away.
Okay, so let me do this one. So so what we want to try and do is that we know that every toric variety can be written as c to the n mod g for some torus sitting inside of c star to the n. And using some parameter. And so then using this kind of this conjecture, we can try and work out how we would compute the Fekaya category of this toric variety. And then what we'll try and do is look at the mirror and then see whether we get the statement of mirror symmetry out. So we've seen that we expect so we expect this Fekaya category. Sorry, I need my notes. The only thing that I need to remember is whether I want to try and talk about restriction. Ought to be some sort of a Hom space between one of these vec taus and then whatever the Fekaya category of c to the n is as a representation.
What's the subscript that you're writing next to the quotient?
It's just the parameter, the GIT parameter. So this thing is that real part of log tau the imaginary part, log tau. And so the conjecture, which is basically an interpretation of Hori-Vafa mirror symmetry, is that if you work out the action of C star to the n on C to the on the Fukaya category of C to the n, the conjecture is that this thing is supposed to be mirror to the following thing. So it's supposed to be, so like first, can you guys just tell me what kind of an object it's supposed to be? Just to make sure that we're all following. So if I, so this is some category with a symmetry of the of this big torus. So let me call that torus T. So what kind of an object like is the mirror? Like based on all this stuff that we've been talking about.
Sheaf of categories on C.
So it should be a sheaf of categories. On T dual, right? The complexified. Oh, sorry. This thing I guess should have been U1 to match. Sorry, I've been using compact groups. Yeah. So the dual is supposed to be something that lives inside. I want them to match. First, I'm going to compute this. Then I'm going to like use. Then I'm going to work out like what restriction does. And then once I like work out what restriction does, then we'll be in good shape. Okay. So okay, that's all I wanted to say is that at least like we're supposed to be giving some sort of a. Sheaf of categories here. And the one that people expect is it ought to be built from T dual together with a superpotential. And it's just the one that sums the coordinates. So this thing is sum C star to the n. And I want to use this Hori-Vafa superpotential. And like one sort of thing that you might get is you can easily build a Lagrangian out of this. Like just take like the graph of the superpotential. And then like you could try and think about like whether or not you could get some sort of nice sheaf of categories here. But I claim it's like not very easy to think like to work in this way. And so in order to make sense of what this object is, I'm gonna have to actually like tell you finally like what kind of a thing this KRS category is supposed to be. Sorry, I thought I could get away without.
Like because the Lagrangian.
The Lagrangian like might not touch the might not touch C. Like if you work out like what this, so like you know the only other time I've written down a Lagrangian for you is this T mod W. That one touched C at the point one, and what we found was the corresponding object I was looking for was the two-structure sheaf supported at one. And I'm saying that like now we're gonna try and write down some other funny Lagrangians, and they might not intersect like the base in like a clean way. And so I'm going to want to like try and explain like a bigger category.
It's the graph of DW. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. Okay, so supposed to mod. So the real category of boundary conditions for the B twist So this is supposed to have so this thing is actually supposed to work for any holomorphic symplectic variety. So let's first try and study like what is KRS of a cotangent bundle. And what the objects of this thing are supposed to be, as I've intimated many times before, are holomorphic Lagrangians L equipped with sheaves of categories. And then since we're in a cotangent bundle, all the exact Lagrangians are of the form graph of DW, where W is some function from X to C. And so I'm just going to restrict to like what happens like with these exact Lagrangians. And the onsets that people give for the way that this thing is supposed to work is that we'll assume that there's like some canonical sheaf of categories that lives on each of these graphs DW, but the onsets. So I said I would give a definition, but that's not really true. I'm just giving you the heuristic definition. Is that if you have the graphs of two different one forms, and you take their homomorphisms, then what you're supposed to get is just the category of matrix factorizations on X with superpotential W2 minus W1. So in particular, if my one form was just a constant, so I had the graph of the origin, then like this thing, and I took just the homomorphism of the structure sheaf with the structure sheaf, I would get matrix factorizations with potential zero, which matches what I claimed I would get out of Neumann. I forget where I wrote it, but somewhere over here, Neumann.
And morphisms of N,
I think NB, the one over there. Okay, so there's some sort of an onsets that this is the way that this thing is supposed to work. If I have a more general symplectic variety, you can do the following. And I want to study the homomorphisms from one the canonical sheaf of categories on two different Lagrangians, L1 and L2. Well, what one can do is, locally, you have that your symplectic, that your, you could use the Weinstein tubular neighborhood theorem to say locally that I have, say, T star L1.
That's false in complex geometry.
Yeah, sure. So there's actually a correction to this picture. So like, Telemann actually wrote like also like a picture about how to deal with like the obstruction for identifying the normal bundle with the cotangent bundle, but I don't want to talk about it right now. So locally, that you would have T star L1, and you can write L2 as being the graph of some one form. And then you would write this thing as being just matrix factorizations on L1 with your superpotential W.
Right,
you
use it.
Huh?
So many choices.
Yeah. So that's why it doesn't exist. Okay, so let's go back here. So what I want to claim is that like the right place for this thing to live is not this is actually this KRS category of T dual of C. And the right object that I want to do is DW, where that's my superpotential. Okay, so then he engineers this thing like in the following way.
T star T check. And I missed where W came from.
It's just the Hori-Bothe potential, so you just take all the coordinates and then just sum them. And then, right.
Is W supposed to be a kind of count?
Sorry?
Is W supposed to be some kind of three-dimensional count of things which become difficult or something?
I mean, I don't know what the interpretation of this superpotential is supposed to be. So I think like what this thing is supposed to be is, right, so the way that you actually find, like what, how do you actually get these, so I don't quite know like how to actually get this potential. Like from this Fakaya category, from this Fakaya category with its U1 action, there's ways that we can check the consistency of this proposal. Using like this BFN Springer stuff that Joel and I have been doing, like you can basically actually compute like what the mirror to this is, and you actually do find. Like the graph of this superpotential, but I don't have any real understanding. But the way that this thing then works out is that now if you have G including into U1 dual, then you get a map of this form, and my superpotential, and then now if I have a point tau in here, this hom ought to be computed. By like doing this intersection, and basically what you find, like if you look at this Keras thing, it should be Q inverse of tau equipped with the restriction of the superpotential W. And if you like work this out, this is like exactly the formula that people normally give for the mirror, right? Like normally like the mirror, or sorry, if I do matrix factorizations here, with the restriction of the super potential, then that is known to be the same thing as this Vikaya category.
Isn't tau a point?
Yeah. It's the one corresponding to this.
So then Q inverse of tau is also a point?
No, this is a bigger torus.
It's a coset.
That map is a fibration, it's not a...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so this is a torus, which is the same dimension as my symplectic variety. Yeah.
Dualize the exact sequence. G goes to T goes to T mod G. T mod G check is a sum of T check. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a coset for that.
I mean, so does the energy come from considering the negation theory with a non-monetary condition such by those?
Sorry?
This sum potential of this Lagrange actually come from non-monetary conditions or the Trini theory where you enrich non-monetary conditions, right? Also
Sure. Yeah. It's an enriched Neumann boundary condition.
Yes.
And then what I'm saying is that the mirror to the enriched Neumann boundary condition.
It should be part of the cohomology calculation of some sort that gives this.
Yeah, so this thing is like this thing is just the graph of the if you take the equivariant quantum cohomology, then the prescription that I gave before, so that's like the Hochschild homology of this category. So the prescription, the definition of an action that I gave before tells you that at least that quantum cohomology sheafifies over this thing without the T star C. But then you have to study all of its deformations, which is the part that I don't quite understand, in order to get get the way that it lives inside of the whole cotangent bundle. I don't quite know. So like just from the G action on the Vikaya category, I can get like I can get the restriction of this graph to the zero section. And so that's something about the quantum cohomology, right? But then I don't know what computation that I have to do what I have to do in order to see the rest of the action. All I'm saying is that for free, from the stuff I was doing, I get this map from the base loop space of U1 of N. To the Hochschild homology of this Vikaya category of C to the N. And that should be some kind of quantum cohomology. And so part of this sheaf is definitely just given by like the quantum cohomology, at least like its restriction to, so if I take the spectrum of this, like that's just T-check C. So at least I can see that like part of it, I'll call this T. So the so at least part of this is just given by the quantum cohomology, and like remembering like the fact that you have this action, but you have to do something extra to like find out like how, I guess what you were saying is you have to compute the big quantum cohomology in order to get the rest of this. So I would like to like understand this a little bit better, but from the details in this paper, like this is about all I was able to understand. It's just like at least this part. And then that if you did choose this potential correctly, I mean, that's why he wrote down a conjecture. He didn't even attempt to prove it, right? He just said, like, conjecturally, this is the mirror. And I think his evidence is just this fact. So this is his evidence. I would be very interested to understand this.
It should be just the vortex calculation, right? Like the event acting with one.
So that's what I was saying. So one thing that you can do is you can do this BFN construction where you say look at like CN. Sorry, this is just for people in the audience. So let me complexify everything in sight. And you can take just the structure sheaf of this space and look at its endomorphisms with the trivial line. Sorry, so this thing is like I'm building some boundary line operator, which I do understand. sorry, T. Right. So okay. So what I'm saying is that using this in using enriched Neumann, I can build a certain line operator in the 3D theory, a twisted 3D theory assigned to a circle.
I see, but not
this thing here. If you so this thing will have a natural action of functions on the Coulomb branch.
You're just saying the same thing as you're used to thinking the space of boundary local operators.
Yeah, and that's like this quantum cohomology here.
You also need.
Yeah, but by doing this, I can get the rest. I can get the rest of the action, and then I actually do see the graph of this one form.
Okay.
So I can do that check, but I don't know how to get it directly from the Fakaya category. I only know how to do it by doing this computation. But if you do this, and then this thing has a natural correspondence that lets you forget the matter, and if you so that gives you a map from t-check that you can restrict this thing along, and then you'd really do get the graph of this potential, but I don't. But I don't know how to get that directly from the Fakaya category. Sorry. So this, if anybody wants to have more, but anyway, but it is what you're saying. I'm just like making a line operator by wrapping this boundary condition and testing it against the trivial line, and it's this vector space is the thing you're supposed to get, and you can compute the action in some concrete way, and then you really do get this potential. So I can test that this is like really correct in some way, but I don't know how to start with this data and then get the answer.
I wonder if using TeGMAT instead of 2DMAT would be a useful perspective or not.
So that's, I think, what I was doing here is I did 3D matter and then found an action of the 3D Coulomb branch with matter.
I mean, this is the same as studying boundary local operators. You're just studying in a different way.
Yes.
You're not adding on new fields in the bulk. I mean.
Sorry, so the computation I was saying is I did C to the N, C star to the.
In the bulk.
In the bulk. Then you have Neumann, but then you can put in a. Then you can put in a interface to pure gauge theory. So to actually do the computation, it's easiest to factor it in this way. So I build a line operator in this theory, compute like what the action of the bulk lines here is, and then compute this homomorphism to restrict. And then this thing should be enriched Neumann.
Yes.
And then I just check that computation does give me this.
But this composition interfaces, you don't know how to do it at the two-categorical level.
I don't know how to do it at the two-categorical level.
Yes.
I know how to do this interface at the two-categorical, I don't even know how to make sense of this, the two-category that would go here at the two-categorical level.
I think that's even more serious.
Yes, yeah, so basically, I don't know. But anyway, so you can actually, this thing is actually a particular one of these GKLO modules for the torus. Yeah, so I have ways of like checking it, but I don't know how to do it the way Telemann would want to. Okay, so how are we on time? So maybe I will. So this thing goes till what time usually?
15 minutes ago.
Okay, so let's stop. So the thing that I would want to do the next time. If there is a next time, is that he wrote down some particular interfaces between theories for different groups, and then wrote down what the mirror interface should be between the Coulomb branches. If that's like interesting, I can do another talk, and then he used that to check that he gave a particular computation of the Reich mirrors. Or reach mirrors of equivariant mirrors of flag varieties. So I could either attempt to do that computation, or we could say that this was enough of an introduction to the vague stuff that's going on in that paper, and then people can start giving talks on like maybe give a more detailed definition of like what this thing is supposed to be.
So you know, what I have on my list for next week is Surya talking about the BV stuff.
Okay, so I feel like then maybe that's, that sounds good to me.
I will say that that's like a completely different style than like anything that's going to be of relevance for like...
Well, we could always also do one at 11 and then do one at 1:30. The 11 one isn't like particularly critical. It's just like if you would like to see what certain interfaces go to.
All right, so maybe we'll plan on having Surya's talk at 1:30, and if you and at 11, you will come and talk to whoever's here about.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a reasonable thing. Yeah, let me say, yeah, and I guess like I should try and tie this to a comment I said I would make earlier. The place where you end up with problems is that if you do this with tau where you would get an empty symplectic quotient, like your toric variety would be empty, then if you do the mirror computation in the way that this conjecture works, you don't get the answer for the empty set.
So what's the deal there?
The deal is that like in the physics, there's so there's two ways that you can do it. So one way that you could do it is that there's some way of putting cutoffs like on this Lagrangian, which he calls using unitary mirrors. Like basically where you don't consider like this whole torus, you only consider like a piece of it. But that you can't do in algebraic geometry. It's like you need analytic neighborhoods. Or the second way that you can do it is in the physics, there's something that tells you that the naive computation, that you should change actually the tau you're using in some clever way that you compute using renormalization. And then like if I had put in the correct, so anyway, the ones where you would get empty, like you were really supposed to be using a different tau there all along.
Tau is scale dependent, you cannot just.
Or okay, so then, so maybe you could. So maybe you guys can tell me, like, yeah, so how does this work in the case where you've got, like, U1 acting on two chirals? And so then you want to make sense of what the category should be when your FI parameters are negative, or when the real part of your FI is negative.
Essentially, in the UV, tau is effectively very large, positive. If you want to have a finite,
yeah,
there is a normalization going on.
Well, okay, so that's
now that. It's a parameter in Lagrange, right?
Yes.
But it's scale dependent.
Okay. Yeah.
So effectively, it's very, very large if you're defining the theory in the UE.
But then, like, how should I be making sense of like these guys, when?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I can make sense of that answer that you're saying that, like, in the UV, then I should, like, tau should be very large and positive. But then, like, why can I probe this thing at different taus? Anyway, there's some actual I'm just saying that there's something that has to be matched here that I don't understand, and like to do that matching, I would be very interested to try and figure out how to do that because it's something that's been bedeviling me.
But the point is that it's Fukai category. The idea you can do Fukai category of X at a very specific value.
Yeah.
I think the point is already there.
Yeah, like I don't think that this conjecture is true. Yeah, quite. But it's like somewhat true.
True-ish.
It's true-ish. Like that's but yeah, I'd like to like know quite how to fix this heuristic. And I don't understand. So the two things I want to know is how do you fix this heuristic? And then I want to understand what Kevin told me about the big equivariant cohomology.
If you want of a specific radius.
That's beyond my pay grade. Let me turn
this. No, you see Fukai